Good evening, and welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Thank you, member supporters. I'm your host, Blair Boone Magura. In today's program, we continue with part two of our tribute and January birthday celebration of French composer Francis Poulenc, French baritone Martin, Pierre Bernac, and one of Bernac's former pupils, American pianist and French vocal coach, Thomas Scrub. In part one of our series, we focus most of our time on the recordings of Bernac and Poulenc of Poulenc's music. So for some added variety, I'd like to begin today's program with Bernac's recordings of Gounod's L'Absent and Duparc's Soupir, with Poulenc at the piano. I'll also share with you some more of my conversation with Thomas Grubb, including some of his reflections of his renowned book, an award given to him by the French government, and some of the famous artists he has helped to mentor over the years. But let's begin with Bernac and Poulenc's recording of Charles Gounod's L'Absent, followed by Henri Duparc's Soupir.
Thank you.
You're listening to Singing and Other Sins. Let's return now to my conversation with Thomas Grubb, where we discussed some of his former pupils who have gone on to have very successful careers.
You've been a teacher and early mentor for so many of the great performers during your time at the Juilliard School and other institutions, singers like Renee Fleming, Audra McDonald, Dawn Upshaw, not to mention the pianists that you've worked with mm-hmm. that have made great careers, like Mark mm-hmm. Markham, who's partnered mm-hmm. with Jesse Norman, of course, and Frank Dakin, who is the author of Encyclopedia of French Song. So my question is, when thinking about these great performers you've helped to mentor and get started, are there performers out there that maybe we need to be on the lookout for, on the horizon, that you think, that singer's got it. He's singing or she's singing in the tradition of Bernac.
Oh, that's a tough one. Renee Fleming worked with me on the Thaïs of Massenet,
uh-huh.
which is a recording that she has out. Renee, for example, I'm so proud of her when I hear her sing. She learned a lot about singing in French with me. I could see that she has a beautiful schwa. You know me and my schwa.
Yes.
Audra is just she's a force of nature. She and I translated La Voix Humaine of Poulenc together. I will say that she did just as much as I did. She would ask me what it really meant in French, and then she would take the words and make them work with the music much better than I did, because I was always thinking about what they really meant. And she would say, I don't want to sing that vowel on a high G, you know. It was a matter of just certain things they each did very well. It was so long ago that I had Dawn. She went with me to work at the Académie Maurice Ravel in 1984 with Suze. And I gave a class in diction at the Académie. Bernac was no longer with us. But I haven't heard Dawn sing much French since then, so I can't speak about her. I have individual people like Rob, and that you're not going to know their names, and maybe nobody will ever know their names, but they often give me more satisfaction. You know, when I worked at City Opera for 25 years, I was very grateful that I was at City Opera and not the Met, because the singers at City Opera were not all stars. They wanted to learn how to sing, for example, Faith Esham, Jerry Hadley, people like that, that they just ate up their coachings, and it was so much fun for me. But I know from my colleagues who coach at the Met, the stars don't come for coachings at all. They barely come for the dress rehearsal.
In that portion of the interview, Mr. Grubb referenced a baritone, Robert Brandt, with whom he currently works and performs with in recital in New York. Brandt is a singer that Grubb believes to actually be a baritone Martin, much like Bernac himself. And Brandt was awarded the Bernac Prize in Singing back in 2015. In addition to chatting about Grubb being a recipient of one of France's highest honors, we also spoke about his celebrated book, Singing in French, A Singer's Manual of French Diction and French Vocal Repertoire, to which Bernac wrote the foreword, and we discussed the challenging work that Grubb is doing with his friend and colleague, Heidi Mung-Sao, to introduce Grubb's teachings on French diction to singers and voice professionals in China and Taiwan.
I'd like to maybe talk a little bit about your book, Singing in French, A Manual of French Diction and French Vocal Repertoire. It had to be such an honor for you to have your mentor, Bernac, write the foreword for this book. So I'm interested in finding out how that came about.
You realize I had begun my book in 72, 73, just a couple of years after I began working with him. And he immediately said, well, I want to see what you're doing. And I said, oh, okay. So he had me send all my rough drafts to him, which he very painstakingly corrected and sent back. And by the time I was having it published, he was correcting the galleys along with me. You know, it wasn't like I had to tippy-toe and ask him to help me. He jumped right in and offered to write the foreword.
Ah.
Who has it better than that when Pierre Bernac offers to write the foreword for your book? Because he would often say, our book.
Oh, how charming and how poetic. Very beautiful.
And I thought it was just beautiful. And then I'll never forget, in the hospital in Villeneuve-des-Avignon, when I went to see him in August of 79, I'm getting chills talking about this right now. In August of 79, which is 2 months before he died, I walked into his hospital room, and guess what was right next to him on his bedstand? My book.
How wonderful.
So, you know, he was very proud of that, and it meant a great deal to him. It came out in April of 79, and Bernac died in October of 79. So it was just in time.
And, of course, the book has gone on to become one of the indispensable resources for singers and pianists and coaches who work in this area of French vocal repertoire. Can you maybe talk a little bit about what you're doing now with the book? I know you are working with a former protege, Heidi Mung-Sao, who's now planning to publish your book in China. This is incredible, where she's been working with singers at the Shanghai Conservatory, where she teaches. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be undergoing, if I understand correctly, a kind of revitalization or a re-editing specifically for Asian singers.
Well, first of all, Heidi is really a colleague and a close friend, and I've known her for 25 years. She invited me and sponsored my classes in Taiwan beginning in 1991 until 2006. So we've known each other for a long time. The book you're talking about is not my original book, but my second edition that never got published in the States for various reasons. But it's an unpublished second edition called The Complete Singing in French, which Heidi has undertaken to have translated into Mandarin to use for her students at the Shanghai Conservatory, and she's trying to have it published. It's a really hard process because, you know, it's not quite as progressive in China, especially in mainland China, as it is in the States, or as sophisticated. And so the publishers are afraid of this book because, can you imagine, it's got Mandarin, French, music, phonetics.
It sounds incredibly challenging.
It's really as if they're going to publish another version of my original singing in French, but in Chinese, and they can't understand it, and of course Heidi does. I suggested to her publishing it independently.
I'd like to give you an opportunity to speak a bit about the fact that you are a recipient of one of France's highest honors. You are a Chevalier in the Order of Arts and Letters, which is given by the French Ministry of Culture in Paris for advancing French culture. So maybe talk a little bit about that experience and that honor.
Well, I really want to be very honest about this because I didn't seek it at all. It was given to me and offered to me. At one point in my annual recital at Juilliard, this French gentleman named Luc Lauriau, L-A-U-R-I-A-U, appeared and came right up to me at the beginning of the recital when I was very concerned about my students, and he started to talk to me. I said, "Sir, I'm very sorry, but I can't talk to you right now. You've got to sit down and listen, and I'll talk to you after the concert's over." That's the way I treated him because I was really, it was all business for me. I had to get those kids up, and it was a long recital, and he was very nice. He sat down. He eventually engineered, because he knew the people at the Ministry of Culture, he organized and engineered my being decorated as Chevalier dans l'Ordre des Arts et Lettres. I don't think without Luc they would have known enough to do that, and for that I'm truly grateful to him.
Let's pause now to enjoy some music. I'd like to share with you a recording of one of Thomas Grubb's former students at Juilliard, who has gone on to enjoy a first-rate career. Perhaps you know her name. Of course you do. It's Renée Fleming, singing the aria Dis-moi que je suis belle from Massenet's opera Thaïs. This is a role that Grubb helped prepare Fleming. I'll follow that with a musical sin, Hommage à Edith Piaf, improvisation for piano, number 15 in C minor, by Francis Poulenc, with none other than Poulenc at the piano. You are enjoying a special January birthday tribute to American pianist and French vocal repertoire expert Thomas Grubb, his mentor French baritone Pierre Bernac, and Bernac's musical partner French composer Francis Poulenc, all born during the wonderful month of January. After discussing Grubb's career, we pivoted back to the subject of Bernac as a teacher and coach.
One thing that Bernac insisted upon, he would always say to both of us, you are not an accompanist and you are not a soloist, you are a team. don't walk in back of the singer as the pianist, because if you follow a singer, you are behind. Pianist waits for the singer to say the beginning of the syllable, the consonant, and then plays, which is, of course, a big mistake. And therefore, you never hear a flowing, ongoing performance. It always sounds as if somebody's dragging somebody. The first thing the singer had to do was recite the text, usually in English at Kent State, you know. Later on, I always had the singer recite the text in his or her native tongue. But Belknap always insisted on having the text recited according to the score, dramatically. And then he allowed the singer, this is very important, I always thought, I learned a great deal watching him do this. He let the singer sing the song. He did not stop the singer, unless, of course, there was some really huge reason to do so. Maybe the singer wasn't feeling well or something like that. But he would let the singers, you know, which is not the case with many artists who give master classes. They stop the singer on the first bar, and we never hear the song. So he would let the singer, whether it was massacring or not, let the singer sing the song through. Then he went back, and the first part of the coaching was corrections, musical and linguistic corrections. Nothing to do with interpretation. Just getting everything, intonation, notes, rhythms, words, and then to sing it again and to check it through. And then a final part of the coaching was interpretation, where Belknap was so good at just showing us what the score was. That's something he was very score literate. He knew how to read a score, and he knew how to make us read it. And he always would look at us and say, don't obey, motivate what you see. It made me understand that the creative part of being faithful to the score was in your perception of the reality of the details in the score. It wasn't just obeying them. That never made for an artistic performance.
And having seen you teach master classes, I see that you bring that into your teaching as well. And I imagine you get that directly from your mentor, Belknap.
He taught me how to work with singers. That's all. He just taught me. I learned. I'm a sponge. I still am. If I see something that I like in somebody, I grab it. I'm not ashamed. I think that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And if I admire somebody's work, and if I can use what they do in any way, I will. And that's what I do with Belknap. And I wish that more people did.
I also asked Mr. Grubb about Belknap's influence on Poulenc's compositions, and if there were any misconceptions about Belknap and about he himself.
Poulenc always said that it was because of Belknap that he became a lyrical composer. Belknap helped him, although Belknap would never admit to that. He helped him see the lyrical possibilities of composing in French. Because, you know, if you look at earlier Poulenc before the 1930s, you'll see that, you know, like the Cocarde or the Villageoise, that kind of thing, they're not the same lyrical, beautiful lyrical French writing. Poulenc was really fond of Belknap's voice, of his artistry, of his, it was a package,
yes,
of his musicianship, of his integrity, of his honesty, sincerity. I can see why. I've never met a more honest artist. It was his honesty that disarmed us all.
Can you list three misconceptions that people have about, one, you, two, Belknap, and three, singing in French or French music in general?
The most important thing about me, I'm not going to say three, all work and no play. My singers always said that I was picky. You're very picky. And that's, you know, that goes with the territory. Also, that I only do French, which is not true. Belknap, I think the most important thing that I would like to cite is about his actual working relationship with Poulenc. Poulenc and Belknap were professional partners. In his correspondence, Poulenc writes that he doesn't feel comfortable saying to Bernac. Now, if you speak French, you know that you say T-U for you, to friends that are close, intimate friends, and you say vous to people like older people that are people that you're professionally linked with, but not intimate, not friendly. Poulenc never felt comfortable saying to Bernac. That tells you everything about their relationship, that it was very professional and almost formal because the men were so very different. Poulenc was kind of a wild guy, and Bernac was very ascetic almost. He was like a monk, you know?
Yes.
He worked very hard and very methodically, and when he performed, he completely soared. You know, when you hear him sing, you know, you've heard the recordings. He is completely creative, but in his real life, he was really not a talker. In social situations, he was retiring. The opposite of Poulenc, the great raconteur, you know, he had stories, and he was funny and entertaining and also very, very unstable emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
He had nervous breakdowns all the time and that kind of thing. Bernac was his pillar, his strength. Bernac would steady him, give him the stability that he needed. Simon as well, Simon Girard. So they really were opposites, Bernac and Poulenc. And singing in French, really, I think the most important misconception, people always say it's so difficult. Anything's difficult if you don't know how to do it. And that's all you have to, figure out how to do it. The biggest thing about French is that people don't understand that it's phonetically spelled, unlike English, or should I say, English, because as you know, when you go through and bow and cough and rough, you know English is so whimsically spelled. The nasal vowels in French are not understood because of the term nasal. They're not nosal. They're post-nasal. Their nasalization in French is accomplished by supplementary resonance in the upper pharyngeal cavity, which is behind the nose in the middle of the head. So you never have nasal, which many American singers do on purpose because they're taught that way. It's not correct. Also, the concept that French is for lighter voices. When you think of Escamillo, when you think of Berlioz, you think of Gluck, and you think of something like Thaïs of Massenet. That's ridiculous. There's all kinds of light, all kinds of medium and heavier voices in French repertoire. And what I learned from Bernac mostly was the parlando in French is sung, not spoken. And this goes mostly for the repertoire of Debussy.
Speaking of Claude Debussy, let's return to that wonderful musical collaboration between Francis Poulenc and Pierre Bernac with some of Debussy's Trois Ballades de Villon.
Oh, sa beauté qui tant me coûte cher, rude en effet, hypocrite douce. Amour dure plus que fer à marcher, nommé t'appuie. D'un pauvre cœur, orgueil musé qui j'en met au mourir, il sans pitié n'a de droit de rigueur, sans empirer un pauvre secourir. Été crié ailleurs secours, c'eût été mon bonheur. sud se fait arracher. Prêtez-moi la fuite des honneurs. Allons, allons, le grand et le mineur. Et qu'est-ce ci? Teneur, sans empirer un pauvre secourir. Un temps viendra qui fera dessécher, jaunir, flétrir votre épanier. Ce temps peut se marcher, mais las, Nanny, ce serait donc folle. Vieille je serai, vous plaide et sans couleur. Fort tant que rue peut courir, ne donnez pas à tout cette douleur sans empirer un pauvre secourir. Prince amoureux des amants de Graigneur, malgré ne voudrait en courir. Mais tout franc cœur doit par notre Seigneur sans empirer un pauvre cette
rien ne sait, aucune lettre ne lut. Ô moustier voile, on suit paroissienne, paradis peint où sont harpes élus, et un enfer où damnés sont poulus. L'homme fait peur, l'autre joie et liesse. La joie avoir fait moi, haute déesse, à qui pécheurs doivent tous recourir, comblés de foi, sans feinte ne paraisse. Cette fois, je veux vivre et mourir.
You've been listening to a special January birthday tribute to American pianist and French vocal repertoire expert Thomas Grubb, his mentor, French baritone Pierre Bernac, and Bernac's musical partner, French composer Francis Poulenc. Happy birthday, gentlemen. I'd like to thank Thomas Grubb for his many recollections of his time with Pierre Bernac. He was also kind enough to share a reading list of recommended material for those interested in French song, which we'll be sure to post on our website at hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins. You can also read more about Grubb's personal journey with Bernac in an essay that he wrote that was published entitled My Time with Bernac. You can find a PDF version available for download by going to the website www.artsongpreservationsocietyny.org and clicking on About Us, then Advisory Board. There you can also find out more about Thomas Grubb's teaching and performance schedule. Let's end our program with one of Poulenc's most iconic song cycles, Tel Jour, Telle Nuit, with Francis Poulenc and Pierre Bernac.
Bonne journée, j'ai revu qui je n'oublie pas, qui je n'oublierai jamais, et des femmes fugaces dont les yeux me faisaient une haine d'honneur. L'ombre changée en souris fuyait dans le ruisseau. J'ai vu le ciel très grand, le beau regard des gens privés de tout. Plage distante où personne n'aborde. Bonne journée, journée qui commence à mélancolique, noire sous les arbres verts, mais qui soudain, trompée d'aurore, montra dans le cœur.
Le front comme un drapeau perdu, je te traîne quand je suis seul, dans des rues froides, des chambres noires, en criant misère. Je ne veux pas les lâcher, tes mains claires et compliquées, ni dans le miroir clos des mières. Tout le reste est parfait. Plus inutile que la pierre, creuse la terre sous ton ombre. Une nappe d'eau près des seins, où se noyer comme une time.
Je n'ai envie que de t'aimer. Un orage emplit la vallée, un poisson la rivière. Je t'ai faite à la taille de ma solitude. Le monde entier pour se cacher, des jours, des nuits pour se comprendre, pour ne plus rien voir dans tes yeux. Que ce que je pense de toi et d'un monde à ton image. Et des jours et des nuits réglés par tes paupières. Figure de force brûlante et farouche, chevelure noire où l'or coule vers le sud, aux nuits corrompues par un outil étoile impur.
Poulenc said of Tel Jour, Tel Nuit, "People will never know how much I owe to Éluard and how much I owe to Bernac. I wrote this song in the sincerest of emotions. I hope others can sense it." will I hope you enjoy this two-part series of celebrating the January birthdays of Francis Poulenc, Pierre Bernac, and Thomas Grubb. I'm your host, Blair Boone-Bagura. Tune in again next week for another episode of Singing and Other Sins. And don't forget, beginning February 18th, you will hear Singing and Other Sins on Saturdays at 5 p.m., after the opera and before the early muse. All this will be on HPR2, your home for classical music.